in that well care appointment.
Wow. And Devin, have you seen this make a difference? Any
Yeah, stories? I have. As a pediatrician, I'm all about prevention.
Yes.
So whether it's vaccines, you know, whether it's breastfeeding or supporting parents, preventing is always going to be much better for the family. It's less expensive as well in terms of healthcare costs. I can speak a little to the healthy steps. We've had parent educators in our clinic since 2014. And, you know, what we've really seen is small shifts that parents can make by hearing some information from a parent educator. That can change the way they're looking at the child, the way they're caring for that child. That can change the trajectory of a relationship for a family. So it really makes a huge difference. You know, breastfeeding, that's another place we really focus on prevention. We know many chronic diseases, many acute diseases can be prevented with breastfeeding. And so we really focus on supporting our moms with breastfeeding support with lactation specialists.
Well, thank you. And once again, just want to remind our guests and listeners that you are listening to KSQD. I'm your host, Keisha Frost, and we are celebrating National Health Centers Week with Dr. Tyler Evans. He is our interim medical officer with the Health Services Agency, Mila Schenk, Chief of Behavioral Health with the Santa Cruz Community Health Centers, and Dr. Devin Francis, Director of Pediatrics with Salud para la Gente. Now, I also want to just give a short plug to our oral health folks there at Dientes Community Dental Care with Laura Marcus as the CEO. Oral Health recently celebrated or kicked off their senior elder care. They're doing work to make sure that our aging population have access to the oral health needs that they may need. So thank you, Dientes Community Dental Care, for the work that you're doing. So again, as we're celebrating National Health Centers Week, we have amazing health centers, and I see Dr. Francis, hand raised. Go for it.
Well, you just bring up oral health, which is another great place to talk about prevention. So in pediatrics, we are all about prevention, and oral health, we know, is number one, it's an infectious disease that's passed through saliva. And so treating pregnant moms is a huge way to prevent the burden of dental disease in children. So many of our moms that we see, the first and maybe only time they will ever have dental work done is when they're pregnant and they have access to pregnancy Medi-Cal. So we work closely between our OB and dental departments so that those moms are getting that dental work done during pregnancy. And so they can come out with a healthier mouth to kiss their babies with. And then after the babies are born, we're seeing them as soon as they have their first tooth. They're coming in with the dentist, seeing the dentist every 3 to 6 months, and really just promoting this kind of idea of oral hygiene and prevention. And that's where our oral health coaches come in, and they'll see the patients alongside with me and talk to them about brushing their child's teeth or avoiding sugary drinks like juice, simple things that they can do that make a big difference in the long run.
Wow, that is amazing. Hey, take that, Jeopardy. So, you know, before we wrap up, yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Tyler, let's go. What do you have?
So, you know, I just really wanted to sort of underscore the, you know, the concept of health centers, right? I mean, because words matter. You know, I think it's important to not sort of pathologize healthcare and sort of call it a, you know, clinic, right? Mm-hmm. We really want to, you know, underscore the, you know, the delivery system of a health center. What does that actually mean, right? We're not just seeing patients. We're promoting prevention, you know, all these different services that we're talking about, whether it's, you know, licensed clinical social workers or psychologists or lactation specialists or dietitians or physicians or nurse practitioners or, you know, a number of other services. It's so important that it all sort of exists in the same sort of center, and it, you know, not just there to, you know, to kind of identify issues that sort of come up with, you know, acute management. We really want to focus on sort of prevention and keeping populations healthy. So, you know, really this paradigm shift that's existed in the country, particularly over the last sort of 15 years or so, particularly with the Affordability Care Act, the promotion of federally qualified health centers to really sort of identify, really strong quality healthcare, particularly for underserved populations, so we can, treat these folks with the dignity and respect that they deserve.
Thank you. Thank you for adding that and just helping us understand that let's call them health centers, and our local health centers are here for prevention and not just to address the acute needs. Is there anything you want to add?
I just also want to pivot. We do prevention, of course, and then we also need to meet the needs of our more complex patients with chronic conditions. I want to give a shout out to my case management team. In addition to behavioral health, licensed clinical social workers doing therapy, we're lucky enough to have case managers who are really working closely with some of our patients who have the hardest time accessing care. And I just think that's a wonderful opportunity that we have, so that we really are kind of on both ends of the spectrum, working on prevention all the way through the life cycle, but also really giving attention to the folks that need us the most and making sure, again, that we're understanding their needs, right? Do we need to reach out to the jails and start figuring out how to get people health care when they're in the reentry programs? Do we need to reach out to criminal justice and start talking with them about how we can support folks with mental health diagnosis? What are the other community partnerships that we can build on, again, to try to meet all of those needs?
Yeah, I'm really glad that you sort of brought up the importance of an interdisciplinary team, because, healthcare, it's not the classic sort of model of, one physician, one patient. This is a multidisciplinary team with, again, case managers, healthcare providers, whether there's physicians or physician assistants or nurse practitioners, again, dietitians, LCSWs, LMFTs, what have you. We really have a huge team, medical assistants, front office, back office, everybody, really coming together and really focusing on care. Sometimes we discuss the needs of our, more complex sort of population. And sometimes folks in the front office, we'll mention, this patient said this, mentioned this to me, and it's something that a physician or a provider would never actually pick up, right? Mm-hmm. So when you put everybody together in the same room, you really start to understand all the sort of multifaceted pieces of healthcare and whole person care. What's important to that person and who that person is going to disclose sort of information with. So really kind of bringing everybody together, you better serve the needs of the community. So again, health center, it's not just about, the doctor-patient relationship as it classically has been. It's really a multidisciplinary team, and we really need to underscore the importance of everybody working in that health center.
Yeah, I think these are such great examples, and it's so wonderful to have sort of like-minded colleagues in the community doing the same work at their health centers. The partner that I will add to what you all have already mentioned are the patients themselves. Our mission is to be responsive to the needs of our community, and so to that end, we have patients on our board of directors, but we also have a patient advisory council, and we have just this year started a teen advisory group where we have groups of adolescents. And they tell us what it is that they need, what's affecting them, what can we do better, what services do they need from us. And it really takes a village, if you want to be a little bit corny about it, but it takes everybody working together, and the patients are a huge piece of that as well.
Wow, great, great. And what a way to recognize the patient, that a patient has to trust you to be able to share information that goes outside of the traditional my knee hurts. I've been at Salud para la Gente, where I watched you all help a family not only address their need for today, but also connect them to Second Harvest Food Bank for fresh fruits and vegetables to help them with their diet. You didn't just have them walk out the door and say, well, good luck.
And, I just wanted to mention one thing. I actually wish we were actually doing this in Spanish as well, because, it's really important to communicate the importance of healthcare, again, as a human right for folks who may be undocumented, may be coming from different countries who may be documented, you know, we are here to protect their health, to provide healthcare services to them, irrespective of their, you know, sort of citizenship or, you know, whatnot. At the Health Services Agency, we feel very passionate about that. You know, we understand in the current administration there has been an increase of raids against certain sort of communities, and you know, they are protected. It's confidential. If they come into the health centers, there has been concerns about, you know, particularly we are a government agency, so there have been concerns about them sort of coming in. But they, you know, should definitely know that, you know, they are protected, and you know, everything is confidential as they're coming in. So we're here to protect them, and you know, it doesn't matter their status of migration, whether they're refugees or asylees or victims of human trafficking, or you know, just folks that are born in the U.S. and are having a tough time, or you know, just sort of regular sort of folks. We are here for them.
Thank you for saying that.
Just to piggyback on this concept of immigration, this has also been a really key issue for a lot of our patients as well, and has been one of the biggest reasons that we connect patients with the Watsonville Law Center, which is one of our community partners through our medical legal partnership, and we can provide them with a comprehensive immigration intake so that they can understand their immigration situation, give them the information that they need, so that they can make the decisions for how to kind of move forward in whatever particular immigration situation they have. And I just, you know, want to echo what Tyler said about creating a safe space that is for all of our patients, regardless of where they're coming from. Throughout the community, we've been giving out the red cards, letting people know what are your rights. If law enforcement comes to you, we have signs in our clinics, whereas our public spaces and our private spaces, private meaning law enforcement can't go there, having other signs showing who are all the community partners that stand together supporting our patients and our community.
Thank you.
I just agreed. We have similar policies in place, and I just want to also acknowledge when we're talking about these kinds of issues, raids, refugees, that trauma is real, and that the impact of trauma on children and on families needs to be addressed. And so focusing on trauma-informed care is another way that we're trying to support folks and really acknowledge the impact that can have.
All right. Last one.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more with that. Trauma-informed care is so important. I actually just returned from the Democratic Republic of Congo last week, and we were actually focusing on women affected by sexual and gender-based violence. And so trauma is pervasive in Congo, in addition to Ebola management. And, you know, whether it's Global South or Global North, trauma exists in a number of places. So really being mindful of that is very important. So, you know, again, we are providers of, you know, just healthcare and promotion of rights, and working with agencies, social agencies, legal agencies, it is our right, it is our duty to protect the health and human rights of our populations.
Well, I'd like to thank each of you for what you do in our county, making sure that you're serving and improving the quality of life for all of our Santa Cruz County residents. If you are here, you are a part, you're family. So thank you so much for that. Before we wrap up, I do know that there is an upcoming event. Devin, would you like to share with us about Salud para la Gente's upcoming event?
Sure. So we are celebrating 40 years of providing primary care to the Watsonville and Pajaro Valley. We have two events coming up in September. In September 7th, we're having a fundraising dinner that's going to support services for children and adolescents. That's going to be September 7th. And you can go to our website, which is splg.org/40th anniversary for information and tickets. We will also be having a free community event the following Saturday, September 14th. That's going to be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. At our main clinic on 204 East Beach Street. And we're going to have cultural performances, food, health information, and it's going to be a big, fun party.
All right. Well, you are listening to KSQD. This is Keisha Frost, and I have been here speaking with various health center representatives and our health services agency as we celebrated National Health Center Week. Join us next week with host Nancy Glock-Grinovich. Please don't hurt me, Nancy, if I mispronounce that. Grunick, Nancy Glock-Grunick. She will be interviewing Eve Majeure about economic justice and revolution.